الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Giving beloved belongings in the way of Allah. Attar's supplication. O Lord of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whosoever reads or listens to the booklet, giving beloved belongings in the way of Allah, grant them abundance in their sustenance, bestow upon them the internal willingness to give their beloved possessions in your path with a cheerful heart, and grant them, their parents and their entire family, forgiveness without reckoning. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Whosoever writes salat upon me in a book, the angels will continue to seek forgiveness for him for as long as my name remains in that book." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dear Islamic brothers, generally, it is our habit to give only our leftover possessions in the way of Allah Almighty. For instance, if we have finished eating and no longer require the food, we give the remains to a poor person. Similarly, if an item is kept in the house and is no longer of use to us, we donate it to a masjid or madrasa. Likewise, if a function such as a wedding takes place and an abundance of food is prepared for guests, but due to an accident or rain, fewer people attend and a few pots of food remain, we deliver those leftover pots to an orphanage or a hospital. Thus, our general practice is to give only those things in the path of Allah Almighty which are of no use to us. In contrast, our pious predecessors did not spend their leftovers, rather they would give their most excellent, favorite and useful belongings in the way of Allah Almighty. For the purpose of encouragement, a faith-inspiring incident is presented in this regard. The excellent camel of Sayyiduna Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu. Sayyiduna Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu lived in a settlement near Medina al-Munawwara. He possessed a few camels and had a frail shepherd to assist with his livelihood. Once, a person from the Banu Sulaym approached him and requested, "Sayyidi, if you permit, I shall stay in your company to attain spiritual benefit from you and also assist your shepherd." Sayyiduna Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu replied, "If you wish to stay with me, you must obey me." He asked, "Sayyidi, in what matter must I obey?" He replied, "Whenever I ask for something from my wealth to be given in the way of Allah, the best item must be given." He accepted this condition and began residing in his service. One day, someone requested Sayyiduna Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu, "Some poor people are settled here by the river bank. If possible, please assist them." He called the individual from the Banu Sulaym and instructed, "Bring a camel." The man went to the camels and selected the most excellent one, but then thought that this camel was useful for the transport of Sayyiduna Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu and was also obedient. Since the objective was merely to distribute meat, he presented a high-quality she-camel of the second-best grade instead. When Sayyiduna Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiyallahu anhu saw that she-camel, he said to the man, "You have committed a breach of trust." The man immediately understood and presented the very best camel for slaughter. Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu then said to him, "Count all the houses settled by the river bank, and include my house in that count. Then slaughter the camel and deliver an equal portion of meat to every house. Ensure that not even a single piece of meat more than what others receive enters my house." Once the camel meat had been distributed, Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu summoned the individual and asked, "Had you forgotten the condition agreed upon between us regarding spending excellent wealth in the way of Allah Almighty?" He replied, "Sayyidi, I had not forgotten, rather I remembered it and had initially selected that same excellent camel. However, I then thought that it is your means of transport and very useful as well. So I left it solely out of consideration for your need." Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu asked him, "Did you truly leave that camel only for the sake of my need?" He submitted, "Yes, Sayyidi, it was truly for your need and there was no other purpose." Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu then said, "Shall I not tell you the day of my true need? Listen, the day of my true need and necessity is the day I shall be buried alone in the pit of the grave. As for wealth, it has three shareholders. Number one, destiny, which shows no regard for anyone whilst taking wealth away. Number two, the hare, who waits for you to die so they may seize your wealth. Number three, the third shareholder is yourself. When destiny and the hare show no relaxation in taking wealth, why do you lag behind in taking your own share? Accumulate for your hereafter by giving the best possible wealth in the path of Allah." Having said this, he, radiallahu anhu, recited the opening verse of the fourth juz. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. You will never attain piety until you spend in the way of Allah that which you hold dear. He further added, "This is why I spend the wealth most dear to me in the way of Allah, to store it for my hereafter." O devotees of the beloved Prophet, how magnificent was the religious mindset of Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, that he would spend his most beloved wealth in the path of Allah Almighty to store it for the hereafter. If only our eyes would open and we too became those who reflect upon this blessed verse. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. You will never attain piety until you spend in the way of Allah that which you hold dear. Remember, you shall receive a reward according to the quality of what you give in the way of Allah Almighty. For the world is the cultivation field of the hereafter. As you sow, you shall reap. Alas, our mindset is such that on occasions like weddings, we eat first ourselves and then send the leftovers to employees, poor neighbors, orphanages and madrasas. It ought to be that where we spend hundreds of thousands of rupees on a wedding, we should have at least one large pot of food cooked with the intention of delivering it solely to the poor people of the locality. The first advice. Dear Islamic brothers, Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu mentioned three things to the person serving him. The first of which was that destiny shows no regard for anyone whilst taking wealth away. Indeed, it is exactly like this. when destiny decides, it takes away one's wealth with great indifference, reducing companies worth millions or even billions to ashes in the blink of an eye. Destiny regards neither the rich nor the poor, nor does it wait for an opportune moment. It takes its full share. When destiny prevails, a vibrant youth can become a victim of death in a moment. In the past, many such youths have been seen whose parents would not allow them to attend the Sunnah-inspired congregations of Dawat-e-Islami, fearing that they might turn into Maulvis and become religious. Alas, those poor souls passed away in the prime of their youth. The second advice. The second point, Sayyiduna Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu mentioned to the person in his service was that the second shareholder of your wealth is the heir, who waits for your death so they may seize your wealth. It is observed nowadays that heirs often wait for elderly parents to breathe their last so they can take possession of their assets and belongings. A person spends his entire life accumulating wealth, yet he remains unaware of how his heirs will treat that wealth after his passing. Sometimes heirs even initiate unlawful businesses using the deceased's wealth. For instance, there was a gentleman with a very religious mindset who used to participate in the weekly Sunnah-inspired congregation of Dawat-e-Islami. Before his passing, he purchased a shop. However, sometime later, he fell severely ill and passed away. After his demise, some of his heirs used the wealth he left behind to start selling video cassettes of films, dramas, and music in that very shop. This occurred despite the fact that the deceased used to earn a halal livelihood and strictly avoided haram income. In any case, whatever wealth a deceased person leaves behind belongs to the heirs. It is their prerogative how they use it. If the deceased did not provide proper upbringing to his heirs, it is unlikely that they will utilize it correctly. Instead, that wealth may prove to be a means of assisting them in sins. This is why when Maslama bin Abdul Malik presented himself before Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi and requested, "Sayyidi, please entrust me and others with a will concerning your children so that we may arrange for their livelihood after you." He, rahmatullahi alayhi, replied, "The children of Umar can only be of two types, pious or wicked. If they are pious, I need not worry about them because Allah Almighty Himself will make them self-sufficient. If they are wicked, why should I provide them with wealth and thus assist them in the disobedience of Allah?" Dear Islamic brothers, whether it is spending wealth in the path of Allah Almighty or on futile activities, the hearts of the youth are generally more open compared to the elderly. Therefore, if a father does not possess a religious mindset and has not raised his children correctly, the children squander the wealth on sins after his passing. If a father is a man of means and has become elderly, the untrained children outwardly cry, "Father, Father," but in reality they await the moment beloved father departs from their path so they can indulge in festivities openly, thinking, "Father is very stingy. He stands in the way of our luxuries." The third advice. The third point, Sayyiduna Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu mentioned to the person in his service was that the third shareholder of your wealth is yourself. Meaning, When destiny and the hair show no concession in taking the wealth, why do you lag behind in taking your own share? As much as possible, give the most excellent wealth in the way of Allah Almighty and accumulate it for your hereafter. O devotees of the beloved Prophet, like Sayyiduna Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, other noble companions were also filled with the spirit of Islamic altruism, i.e. ithar. In this regard, listen to a faith-inspiring incident of the altruism of Sayyiduna Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, and gather a passion of altruism yourself. Donation of a beloved orchard in the way of Allah. Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that Sayyiduna Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu was the wealthiest amongst the noble companions in terms of assets, and he possessed the greatest number of orchards. He owned a magnificent orchard named Bayruha, which contained very sweet water. This orchard was also blessed with the honor that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would visit it and drink its water. When the following blessed verse was revealed, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, La tanalul birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun. You will never attain piety until you spend in the way of Allah that which you hold dear. Sayyiduna Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu presented himself in the court of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, of all my orchards, Bayruha is the most beloved to me. Since Allah Almighty has ordained that one should give what they love in his path, I wish to give my most beloved orchard, Bayruha, as charity in the way of Allah. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was immensely pleased and advised, distribute it amongst your close relatives. Consequently, Sayyiduna Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu distributed that orchard amongst his kindred. O devotees of the companions and the Prophet's family, observe. Sayyiduna Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu heard a single Quranic verse and immediately gave his most beloved orchard as charity in the path of Allah. Whereas, we, despite hearing verses of the noble Quran repeatedly, do not act upon them. Reflect for a moment. Has any Quranic verse affected us? For example, upon hearing this very verse, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, La tanalu al-birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun. You will never attain piety until you spend in the way of Allah that which you hold dear. Did it impact us such that we gave our favorite item in the path of Allah Almighty? For instance, did we give our favorite watch, handkerchief, or pen in his way? Remember, giving in the path of Allah Almighty is not limited to giving to a destitute or poor person. Rather, if you give a beloved item as a gift to an Islamic brother you know, this is also considered giving in the path of Allah Almighty and will be rewarded. How responsive were the noble companions radiallahu anhum? Whenever they heard a verse of the noble Quran or a statement of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, its impact would immediately descend upon their hearts and they would act upon it. Think, has the thought of acting immediately ever crossed our minds upon hearing a blessed verse or hadith? Perhaps never. It does not affect us. Our hearts are no longer spiritually alive. And unfortunately, our strength of faith has become extremely week. O devotees of the Noble Prophet, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam also used to practice selflessness beautifully. The curved miswak. Once the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was on a journey. He obtained two miswaks, i.e. two sticks, one of which was straight and the other slightly curved. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam granted the straight miswak to his companion and kept the curved one for himself. The companion remarked, "You should have kept the straight miswak and granted me the curved one." He sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, "When two travellers or two Muslims stay together for even a short while, they will be questioned on the Day of Judgment regarding the manner in which they treated one another." O devotees of the Noble Prophet, reflect. How is our conduct with our associates? Setting aside the rights of others, nowadays even parents are treated with rudeness. If the mother says something, she is immediately scolded. If the father speaks, he is given a sharp, insolent reply. And if siblings say anything, they are rebuked. If any conversation occurs at home, it cannot happen without scolding, and a harsh attitude is adopted, such as, "Why was this work not done? Why is this thing lying here? Why has this area not been cleaned?" etc. Those foolish individuals who adopt such a harsh attitude in their homes cause their family members to become disillusioned with them. If a youth who has a habit of quarrelling and displaying ill manners at home happens to associate himself with the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami, grows a beard according to the Sunnah, and adorns his head with the Sunnah-inspired imamah, yet continues to maintain a harsh attitude towards his family, then the family members begin to criticize the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Remember, all faults are not removed instantly upon joining the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Rather, they are rectified gradually. If someone criticizes Dawat-e-Islami, instead of quarreling with them, one should remove one's own flaws and say to the critics, "If you have been troubled due to our shortcomings, please forgive us. Insha'Allah, you will not be troubled in the future." Those Islamic brothers who threaten the critics of Dawat-e-Islami, for instance, by saying, "We will do this or that," or if a family member speaks ill of Dawat-e-Islami, they frighten them by saying, "We will run away from home," or "We will break the dishes at home," etc. Such individuals should act with wisdom and prudence. Instead of adopting a threatening tone, they should explain things to the critics with love and affection. Look, until our good character emerges before people, and we extinguish hatred to light the lamps of love, there will be no light. Rather, darkness will remain. Therefore, the reformation of both the internal and external self is essential. Dear Islamic brothers, the famous companion, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, also used to practice great self-sacrifice. The fish of Medina. Once, Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma fell ill and said to Sayyiduna Nafi radiallahu anhu, "I have a desire to eat roasted fish." In those days, fish was not available in Medina al-Munawwara. Sayyiduna Nafi radiallahu anhu searched extensively and finally obtained a fish for 1.5 dirhams. Sayyiduna Nafi' radiyallahu anhu narrates, I roasted it and presented it to Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma. In the meantime, a beggar arrived, and he radiyallahu anhu said, give this fish to him. I submitted, Sayyidi, I have found this with great difficulty, and it is what you desire. Therefore, I shall give the value of this fish to the beggar. He replied, no, give him this fish. Consequently, the fish was taken and given to him. When the beggar left, Sayyiduna Nafi' radiyallahu anhu went after him, purchased it back for 1.5 dirhams, and presented it again. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma asked, how has this fish returned? I submitted, Sayyidi, I have purchased it from the beggar for 1.5 dirhams. He radiyallahu anhuma responded, go and give this fish to him as well, and let the 1.5 dirhams remain with him too. For I have heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that whosoever gives up something he desires, Allah wipes away his sins. O devotees of the beloved Prophet, did you see Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma did not eat the fish despite having a desire for it and gave it in the way of Allah Almighty? If only we could become like this, that if a beloved item is before us, our heart is tempted, our soul is inclined towards it, and we desire it, but suddenly we recall this blessed hadith. Whosoever gives up something he desires, Allah wipes away his sins. And we then gift that favorite item to a Muslim, a neighbor, or a younger sibling. Giving charity to family members brings a greater reward. Insha'Allah, this glad tiding of forgiveness will be for us as well. Unfortunately, our condition is the opposite. When we sit down to eat, we pull the best pieces of meat towards ourselves. Even if we intend to give in the way of Allah Almighty, we take whatever food is left over and give it to a poor person. Unfortunately, our charity is such that as long as the food is useful to us, we keep it. And only when there is a risk of it spoiling, do we give it in charity. Nowadays, every home has a fridge, so leftover food is stored there. Then, when 2 or 3 days have passed and the taste has slightly changed, rendering it unappealing to us, it is given to a poor person. May Allah Almighty grant us the ability to give our beloved belongings as charity in His path. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.